Chair, you are on the record.
Oh, no. Yeah, it matches the agenda. Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to Ada's Wednesday, April 17th board meeting. I'll call the meeting to order and ask Ramey to do a roll call of the board members.
Commissioner Sandy? Commissioner Sandy?
Keep going.
I can hear you now. Okay. I can hear you.
Commissioner Crum?
Here.
Mr. Kendig?
Here.
Mr. Fogel?
Here.
Mr. Ellich?
Here.
Mr. Vigelmore is absent. Chair Cruz?
Here.
You have quorum.
All right. Before us is our agenda for today. Has there been a chance to look at it? Is there any recommended changes or additions? Hearing aids, I'll take a motion for agenda.
This is Bill Kendig. I move to approve the agenda for the ADA board meeting Wednesday, April 17, 2024.
This is Albert. I'll second.
Thank you. Discussion? Is there any objections to adopting the agenda as presented? Hearing none, the agenda is approved. Prior minutes for March 6, 2024. Is there a chance to take a look at the minutes?
This is Bill Kendig. I move the prior minutes of March
6, 2024. This is Albert. I'll second.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Any objection to adopting the minutes for March 6, 2024? Hearing none, the minutes are approved. Bring us to item number five, public comments. We'd like, please allow 2 minutes per person. Please state your name. And if you have an affiliation for the record, clearly, so we have a record of that. Ramey, would you check, is anybody online wishing to make a public comment?
If there are any members on the line that wish to make a public comment, please press star 9 on your phone now. You will be recognized in the order that you called. Please clearly state your name and affiliation if you have one. Chair, there are no members on the line at this time.
Is there anybody in the boardroom wishing to make public comment? I will make the observation that we're kind of tilted here a little bit heavier on this side than the left side. I don't know what that is. It's kind of like your side, kind of light over there, maybe. Just letting you know, you know. Yeah, you know. A little out of CG here. No one in the conference room? All right, so I'll close the public comments. Subject to framing someone shows up at a later time, let me know, would you please? Item number six, new business. Looks like A, first up, is executive session, confidential and deliberative matters related to LASCAM discussion, legislative issues, update. A, is finances, budget, and project application, which are subject to deliberative process privilege, and other matters related to A, is subject to specific legal advice or attorney-client privilege. With that, I will take a motion to go into executive session.
This is Bill Kendig. I move that the board enter an executive session for the purpose of discussing the following: LASCAM discussion, legislative issues update, matters related to ADA's finance and budget, other matters related to ADA that are subject to specific legal advice, which is subject to the attorney-client privilege and communications. These matters, which if discussed publicly, what could have an adverse effect on the finances of ADA, are matters that are attorney-client privileged, and matters involving consideration of government records that by law are not subject to public disclosure due to the executive or deliberate process, privilege, or other law. The executive session and matters discussed therein are proper subjects for an executive session under the Alaska Open Meetings Act, reference Alaska Statute 44-62-310C1, 3, and 4, and the Alaska Public Records Act.
This is Albert. I'll second.
All right. Ramey, would you pull the board?
Commissioner Sandy?
Yes.
Commissioner Crum?
Yes.
Mr. Kendig?
Yes.
Mr. Fogel?
Yes.
Mr. Ellich?
Yes.
Chair Pruce?
Yes.
You have a quorum, sir.
All right. I would like to, on this board.
Chair, you are on the record.
Okay, I will advise the public that the board did not take any actions on the matters discussed while in executive session. The session is limited to a discussion of matters directly protected from public disclosure by the Open Meetings Act. So I'll bring us back to our original agenda, and that would be item number B under new business, LASKM presentation.
Thank you, Chair. We'll get the representative.
And the other thing was, yesterday wasn't feeling that good about, you know, I realized I was older. That's interesting, Elias, how they found their logo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know?
First time I saw it, it took me a second.
LESM.
Because it was like that, where you actually didn't see it. The one letter, you're like, yeah. Where's their big guess?
Okay, Randy, we have a presentation by LESM.
That's correct, Chair. Representatives of the project are here to brief the board and the public about the methanol plant, ULSD plant, on the North Slope.
So this is just a quick update, correct?
Correct.
All right, great. JR, welcome.
Well, thank you. I appreciate your questions, but I'll just kind of briefly go through this because, as you probably remember, I was here in November and talked about a lot of the same stuff. So
we appreciate the briefness.
All right, so I hope your clicking fingers all warmed up there, Amy. All right, so first slide. The basic purpose of LESKM is on the vision that the North Slope is a world-class energy basin, and it can be for a very long time, but its future hinges on lowering operating costs, increasing the resource base, monetizing gas, and helping to adapt to clean fuel transitions. And the way that we're going to do that is through value-added chemistry. So LESKM's plan is to develop a small petrochemical facility in Puna Bay that will make methanol and hydrogen from natural gas, CO2, and water. And the hydrogen will then be in turn used to treat local fuel to make ultra-low sulfur diesel. This will eliminate the cost, risk, and emissions from transporting the top two highest volume imports to the North Slope. And this will create stable revenue for our investors while improving economics for everyone. All right, next slide. This is just a brief view of the world and how methanol currently moves the slope. It's the simplest chemical you can make out of natural gas, and yet it's been imported, you know, thousands and thousands of miles since the beginning of Puna Bay. You can see it comes from the U.S. Gulf Coast to South Central Alaska, and then gets trucked up. It's all in all, 5,500 miles to Trinidad, take it from Asia, 6,000 miles to Brunei. It's a long way to bring a natural gas commodity to the North Slope. Next slide. Similarly, ultra-low sulfur diesel is made from crude oil, but the kind that we can already make this on the North Slope, but the kind we make can't be used in engines and hasn't been able to since about 2008 when the sulfur requirements changed. We can't remove the sulfur currently on the North Slope without hydrogen, and so that means that diesel costs, this is the picture I took just in November, when the diesel was $7.21 a gallon.
So, JR, you're saying that we pull the oil out of the ground, send it down the pipeline to Valdez, then send it down in tankers to Tacoma for them to refine it, and then send it all the way back up to the slope.
Exactly.
So this would eliminate that whole process.
Exactly.
Wonderful.
So yeah, you've got a place that's awash in oil and natural gas, importing things made out of oil and natural gas, and that's what we're trying to fix. So we just briefly on the market. Next slide, Rami. I know you guys know this already, but methanol is used as freeze protection on the North Slope. It mixes with water, it mixes with oil, it mixes with chemicals, and it has extremely low freezing points. So that makes it indispensable for all kinds of things that you absolutely have to do in order to keep the North Slope oil fields running. Our methanol revenue is going to be based on tolls, and so that it's not really going to fluctuate up and down with commodity prices. We're building this plant big enough in order to satisfy all of the potential methanol demand on the North Slope, which varies from year to year. So, you know, it would, you know, in the worst demand cases might be half of what the plant produces, and in the highest use cases would be close to full capacity. But we will be making methanol for a toll far below what anybody else can bring it to the North Slope and sell it for. On ultra-low sulfur diesel, again, just as Al was saying, it's oil that has to move through taps, go down a tanker, get refined, come back into the state, get trucked up to the North Slope, and by cutting that out, we're eliminating, a lot of stress on the logistics chain and able to just use it, make it close to the point of consumption. Next slide. I know you guys are intimately familiar and probably sick of looking at this pad for, you know, one of the 15 years since I think first saw this thing. Yeah, so but this one is still affectionately known as the Ada pad up there. You got Harvest building an LNG plant on half of it. We're building this plant on the other half of it. So you can see that aerial view there. This will be located immediately south of Flow Station 3. Critically, it's going to be only 1,000 feet from the main gas line running through Prudhoe Bay. And we will be the only reformer. So that's the thing that changes natural gas into synthesis gas that you can make stuff out of. We're going to be the only reformer tied into 7 billion cubic feet a day of stranded gas. As we move down into the future, there's a lot of exciting things you can do in the future, and I think it's worth noting that the DNR lease, which, you know, took a long time to be able to get to where we can actually develop something like this up there and have clear surface rights that's not attached to any unit in any way. We can amend that if we need to in order to expand the pad. So if this facility needs to grow over the years, we can work with DNR in order to, you know, push east, push north as necessary in order to accommodate larger footprint. And we really think that as we develop this site, and also Harvest as well, we're doing things like bringing natural gas in, you know, making electricity, having control rooms, having truck loading racks. There'll be, you know, heat, hydrogen, you know, diesel, you know, purified water, all these things all available in one space. So as we start thinking about all these next generation things that you can do, suddenly we have an industrial site where the next iterative project becomes a lot cheaper. And you can kind of innovate and experiment on a relatively small scale in situ in the North Slope, and that unlocks the ability to do a lot of really interesting things in the future. Next. We've decided not to actually make anything this color. So this is our 3D model. So we've since being here last, we completed a full 3D rendering of the plant, all the major components, tanks, reactors, piping, et cetera. And that's what it looks like. The reformer I was talking about is the big tall wall thing in the back. Okay, next. During the construction phase, this should create about 150 jobs. Long term, it should create between 10 and 20 direct jobs. Where we think the biggest economic impact is really by strengthening supply chains and lowering costs on the North Slope. that it allows the North Slope to be more efficient. And even a small change in the efficiency of something as critical to the state economy as the North Slope has just an enormous multiplier effect. Moreover, it's a catalyst for growth by relieving pressure on the Dalton Highway for relatively low value commodities. It frees up space in order to deal with the development that we need for Willow and Pica. And also, different chemicals that are necessary in order to unlock heavy oil and add value to natural gas become possible once you have petrochemical industry. It's also a catalyst for an energy transition. As people start looking at alternatives to traditional fuels, methanol is a fantastic, you know, alternative fuel. In fact, the original engines were designed to run on methanol, and hydrocarbons came in later. That's Formula One races on methanol. It is a cool, you know, accelerate like crazy fuel, and you can make it out of things like carbon dioxide and water if you have enough energy to go into it. There are other fuels that we'll be looking at, like ammonia. There's things like dimethyl ether. All these things, as we move towards whatever comes next, allow Alaska to keep monetizing our, you know, natural hydrocarbon resources and utilizing that energy in a way that markets demand, which I think we all think is going to be kind of a mix for a while. So being able to sell into that mix and to capture that value add significantly extends the amount of things that we can do with what's up there. Rainey?
Yes.
Sorry, quick word on HSE impact. Of course, we're chopping so much in the way of logistics out here that you're improving safety, decreasing spill risk, decreasing emissions of all kinds into the air. Next. Currently, you know, we have our project site, we have our pipeline right-of-way, we have our gas supply, we have our major permits, we have major equity partners that have invested millions into this company already and are looking to take us forward. We have our off-take contracts with our major customers in final form, and we've completed our 30% engineering and our Class 3 estimate since we spoke last, and look to be starting construction off-site this year, and then construction on-site should start in summer of 25. And there's a pretty picture of High Noon at on the Prudhoe Bay.
Thanks, JR. Is there questions for JR?
I have one, Mr. Chair.
Go ahead, Randy.
JR, did I understand you to say that you can scale this project?
Yes, sir.
We're talking about expansion.
There's a lot of different ways that this project could be expanded depending on what the market demands. You can do things from as humble as mixing methanol, water, and a little surfactant to make windshield wiper fluid, which I think is going for over $14 a gallon on the North Slope, but could be made for a pittance if you have local methanol. then you've got you know, large things like methanol, with a reactor at the end of a methanol plant, you can make dimethyl ether, which is one of the most promising ways to unlock heavy oil. And of course, we've got an almost $1 trillion, you know, untapped heavy oil resource on the North Slope. So there, you know, I could go on in quite animated fashion about the dozens of different things you can do potentially, but there's a large range of opportunities that become available in the future once you have an established petrochemical operation.
I understand. Thank you for that on the byproducts or other products that you can produce, but I was specifically wondering about methanol and ultra-low sulfur diesel, if you could expand the capacity of the plant to accommodate those two products.
Yeah, and short answer is absolutely.
Thank you.
Just to reiterate, is methanol being produced in state right now?
No.
So this would be a brand new product produced in state that could have large-scale ramifications.
Absolutely. No, this is, right now we're kind of doing the colony thing. If we send the oil out and we bring the, you know, refined stuff in, and this is actually us making our own product out of our own resources.
Pretty exciting. Thank you.
Anybody else? Well, great update, JR. Thank you very much, and look forward to continue doing your due diligence and getting after it. Hopefully you get that thing started this summer.
A great pleasure. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you for your time.
I appreciate it.
All right. Under new business, item number C is resolution G24-02. Amendment to 8 is resolution G12-04, 8 authorizing loans to the Alaska Energy Authority. What is this?
Correct, Chair. So prior resolutions of the board have allowed AEA to borrow on the capital of ADA at no interest rate, and this resolution would amend prior resolutions to allow ADA to negotiate, discuss, enter into actual arrangements with AEA for payment of some interest on the loan. And
at whose discretion? I mean, it comes back for final approval by us as far as the interest rates? It goes as a...
I think this resolution, Chair, speaks in terms of a 5.25% rate on page 3 at the top.
Okay.
That's adjusted quarterly based on the previous revolving fund account.
Okay. All right.
So we think it's a reasonable, you know, business-like arrangement with AEA, and I would recommend the board approve the resolution. I know the chair of AEA has some thoughts on the timing of implementation, as he has to obtain some funds. I think the timing, there's also a timing issue of having this resolution adopted so we can try to get it into the federal indirect rate. They may deny it. I know executive director of AEA believes it won't fit in the indirect rate, but we have to have this in place in order to force the question.
Okay. Mr. Chair, go ahead. So thank you, Randy, for bringing this to our attention. Is the AEA director in support of this fee?
I believe...
interest rate for loans?
Member Fogle, I believe the AEA executive director is fine with it as long as he's got a fund source, you know, an ability to pay it. It's a low interest rate, 5.25, and there may be some additional steps that AEA can take that would reduce, you know, the amount of the borrow as well, bringing down the payment as well.
And is this above and beyond the working capital money that we provide to AEA every year?
No, it's not. This is that working capital.
Oh, okay.
This is that working capital
okay.
loan fund.
So thank you.
Yeah.
All right. For the discussion, or I'll take a...
I move resolution number G24-02, amendment to ADA resolution number G1204, ADA authorizing loans to the Alaska Energy Authority.
This is Albert. I'll second.
Any further discussion?
This is Commissioner Sandy. I just wanted to verify, Randy, that this is allowed through our bylaws or in statute. I'm sorry. I just couldn't remember if we are directed to loan at a certain rate to AEA, so I just want a clarification on that.
Commissioner Sandy, my understanding is that it is allowed.
Great, thank you.
Any further questions? Hearing none, Ramey, would you pull the board?
Commissioner Sandy?
Yes.
Commissioner Crum?
Yes.
Mr. Kendi?
Yes.
Mr. Fogle?
Yes.
Mr. Ellis?
Yes.
Mr. Beaglemore is absent. Chair Cruz?
Yes.
The motion passes.
Thank you.
Item number D under new business is resolution G24-03, appointment of new council for the Ambler project and funding for additional expenses.
Mr. Chairman, the description in the agenda is slightly off. We're not actually, the resolution doesn't contain language selecting a council. The resolution does two things. It approves a additional payment to the Department of Law for prior expenses incurred, and it authorizes, does not require, but it authorizes an additional amount out of the AIDF fund to pay legal fees associated with the Ambler Road project, which legal strategy will be focused on the ANILCA section that guarantees access.
So would you reread the resolution in the record, please?
Sure. You want me to start with the first whereas?
Start. Resolution in G2403.
Sure.
Top page here.
Right. I can read it into the record. So whereas one of the purposes of the Alaska Industrial Development and Export Authority is to develop and provide financing for industrial development and facilities that are essential to the development of the natural resources and long-term economic growth of the state and will directly and indirectly alleviate unemployment. That's taken from ADA's mission statutes in Title 44. Whereas the Ambler Mining District Industrial Access Project, the project is aimed at the responsible development of an industrial road to access state of act lands and state mineral claims, as well as federally patented mining claims in the Ambler Mining District by multiple mining companies for exploration and mine development. This is the type of development ADA was established to pursue and has successfully pursued through mines like the Red Dog Mine. Whereas the Arctic Infrastructure Development Fund was set up by the legislature to finance such projects, whereas the Ambler Road project was funded and declared to be an Arctic Infrastructure Development project under the Arctic Infrastructure Development Program and Fund in Board Resolution G20-11.
So, Randy, yep. What I meant was just the top paragraph.
Sorry. I missed it. I'm sorry.
Yeah, just to restate it because of what I read in the resolution on the agenda was different than...
Oh, sure. Okay, I'm sorry. I apologize. So resolution G2403 is now titled Resolution of the Alaska Industrial Development and Export Authority Approving Payment of Expenses Related to the Ambler Road Project. Sorry, Chair.
It's all right. I would like to bring the board's attention to section number 3, authorizing expenditures of $750,000. Is that project related or is that overhead related?
That is, that funding is not subject to the cost sharing agreement with the project, with the mines, so that will be coming from ADA receipts.
All right. Is there a question from the board whether or not to hold off on this until for future meetings with the administration on funding sources for resource litigation?
Yeah, I move that we table this till said meeting.
Well, not the whole thing.
No, section 3. Sorry.
You either have to...
I move to table section, amend it?
Yeah, you have to amend it, and then once we had a meeting, we would then bring it back up as a separate resolution for the details in it.
Okay, so I move to amend to remove section 3 till after the said meeting.
Mr. Chairman, I'll second.
Discussion?
Mr. Chairman.
Howard?
Just for clarification, we're looking to have some money from the state government under their state defense funds.
Yeah, we're looking to have them assist us with the litigation with Ambler Metals and possibly ANWR and possibly Western City.
Okay. And just, I guess, for the education of those listening online and for the public record, Randy, do you mind just stating why this legislation is so important, not just to AIDA, but to the state as well?
Yes, I can do that. So the legal issues involved with Ambler Road are specific to the road. There's a section of ANILCA 201B that says the Secretary of Interior shall grant access from the Hall Road to the Ambler Mining District. That's one legal issue that's involved with the road. There's also some broader provisions of the Statehood Act and ANILCA that in general say wherever there's an inholding of state land and minerals, the Secretary shall grant access, and it's notwithstanding any other law. So there's a statute that's specific to Ambler access, and then there's these other statutes that are broader statewide coverage that are at issue. So it's got, you know, importance not only for the project, but statewide.
Thanks, Randy. That's all, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Albert. I would suggest that you have each project have a identified bucket of legal expenses that we can look at on a quarterly basis, you know, running total.
Yes, Chair.
All right, so we haven't officially put this resolution on the table. We've read it in the record. It's been, is there any objections to the modification that Joe and Albert Secker, is there an objection to that? All right, so now we'll put the resolution on the table as
defined. I move resolution number G24-03 as modified.
Which is removing section 3?
Yeah, which is removing section 3, correct.
And I'll second. This is Albert.
All right. For the record, discussion. All right. Hearing no discussion, I'll ask Amy to pull the board.
Mm-hmm. Commissioner Sandy?
Yes.
Commissioner Crum?
Yes.
Mr. Kendig?
Yes.
Mr. Fogel?
Yes.
Mr. Ellich?
Yes.
Chair Bruce?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Thank you. Brings us up to item number 7, Director Comments, Randy.
Thank you, Chair. I have some project updates for the board, somewhat probably aware of already, but it is in the public arena that the Biden administration is going to issue a no-build decision for the Ambler Road. As I just discussed with Member Fogel, that violates federal law, several of them. We're going to be watching for a formal decision here in the next few days, and we'll keep the board appraised when a actual formal decision is issued. We will be back with the board, as the chair mentioned, with strategy and legal matters on how to proceed. The ANWR case, there was a filing in that case, a legal filing, and there'll be another one, I think, in about 2 weeks that will make the argument that the leases were canceled illegally under the NPRA rules that apply by reference in the 2017 Tax Cut and Jobs Act, and we will again get copies to the board and the members of that action. That's that and the Alyeskim project that was discussed earlier are the key projects we're watching right now, Chair.
Okay. All right, so we have a loan dashboard for everybody to look at. Some project fact sheets, which we've seen many times. And then something kind of a, maybe Randy can, or Julie can expand on the Small Business Economic Development and Rural Development Initiative Fund, item number D.
Sure, I can take a shot at that, Chair. So we've got some small business loan programs that are housed over at the Department of Commerce. We recently defederalized those programs to get some more flexibility. They're fairly small programs, I think roughly $24 million total in funding available between each of the two programs. We are seeing some activity pick up, but this is a set of programs that I think the Commissioner Sandy is interested in seeing if we can improve and pick up the pace a little bit and get some small businesses. They're normally limited to, I think, $300,000 and under. We may have just gotten a little more flexibility by defederalizing.
So is this a program through Department of Commerce?
These are actually eight of programs by statute, but they've been, I think, for decades allowed to be operated by the Department of Commerce.
Okay. How's the delinquency rate?
Their delinquency rate in the program is listed as 7.3% in the rural program and zero in the small business program.
Okay. Just using that to step up the pace there, huh?
Yes. Yes.
I think that's what the work that this is Commissioner Signetti, the work that Director Anderson is doing in partnership with ADA on behalf of Alaskans in this program is really exceptional work, and the efforts to defederalize are all based on wanting to be able to see this loan fund utilized more, and so we're looking forward to being able to help more Alaskans. And in answer to your question, Chairman Cruz, that we've had a memorandum of agreement, a memorandum of understanding with ADA for the use of these funds or Division of Investment Managing these funds, I think, since the mid-80s. And so I think that relationship is working out well, and we're looking to maintain the status of that.
Thank you, Julie. Do we need to worry about that rural delinquency rate?
No.
Okay. All right, so that brings us up to board comments.
Mr. Chairman.
Robert.
Randy, you and your staff, again, continue to impress me, all the work that you're doing and the attention to detail that all your staff has. I just want to appreciate everyone that's on your team and you yourself. One thing that I'd like to see, I think maybe Josie has been working on this, is I'd like to see more of a marketing campaign of all the good work we're doing and why we're fighting for ANWR and for AMBLR. It's not just these projects, but it's really a state's right issue that we were promised 50 years ago plus, and we still have not seen it. So I'd like to see us get out and do some type of marketing campaign.
Thank you, member, and we will focus on that and step it up.
Awesome.
So, yeah, along with that, thank you for the kind of consistent effort you've had down the legislature this year. Funding sources have been directed in a lot of different ways, but keeping the eye on the ball on long-term growth and prospects of where ADA can go in the future and kind of our important role as an investment and economic development in the state. It's about creating jobs. It's also about creating opportunity, which is why our bylaws allow a lot of flexibility on either to make sure that we're different than the way standing bank institutions are, and it is a different setup that we have. So I just want to say just appreciate kind of the work that your team's been doing and how you really just hit the ground running here, and it's going to be a year and a half yet.
Feels longer,
but there's a lot that's been done, and there's a lot that's been set up. So thank you, Randy.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Mr. Chair.
Go ahead, Randy.
So, Randy, I'm thinking about your resume, and when I first had the opportunity to visit with you here at an ADA meeting in a suggested that you might be 150 years old. That wasn't necessarily true, but the point I'm trying to make is your frame of reference and your ability to grasp the situation has helped this organization immensely, and and I'm very appreciative of it.
Thank you,
Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Randy.
Thank you, Randy.
Okay. Bill?
No, I was just going to say everybody took the words right out of my mouth. Like you couldn't be more pleased with the job that you and your staff do.
Thank you. Well, I'd like to thank everybody, fellow board members, for participating today, important day. We got a lot covered. Also, for those online,